Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 14, the three modes of material nature, text number 3. Mamayo nir mahad brahma. Tasmin garbham didamyaham. Sambhava sarabhutanam. Tito bhavati bharata. Mama, my yoni, source of birth, mahat, the total material existence, Brahma, supreme, tasmin, in that, garbham, pregnancy, didami, create, aham, I, Sambhava, the possibility. Sarvabhutanam, of all living entities. Tata, thereafter. Bhavati, becomes. Bharata, O son of Bharata. Translation, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The total material substance called Brahman is the source of birth, and is that Brahman that I impregnate, making possible the birth of all living beings, O son of Bharata. Purport, this is an explanation of the world. Everything that takes place is due to the combination of Kshetra and Kshetra Gya, the body and the spirit soul. This combination of material nature and the living entity is made possible by the Supreme God Himself. The Mahatattva is the total cause of the total cosmic manifestation, and that total substance of the material cause, in which there are three modes of nature, is sometimes called Brahman. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Personality, impregnates that total substance, and thus innumerable universes become possible. This total material substance, the Mahatattva, is described as Brahman in the Vedic literature. Vundaka Upanishad 119. Tasmad etad brahma namarupam anam chajayate. The Supreme Person impregnates that Brahman with the seeds of the living entities. The 24 elements, beginning from earth, water, fire, and air, are all material energy. They constitute what is called Mahad Brahma, or the great Brahman, the material nature. As explained in the seventh chapter, beyond this there is another superior nature, the living entity. Into material nature, the superior nature is mixed by the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thereafter all living entities are born of this material nature. The scorpions lay its eggs in piles of rice, and sometimes it is said that the scorpion is born out of rice. But the rice is not the cause of the scorpion. Actually, the eggs were laid by the mother. Similarly, material nature is not the cause of the birth of the living entities. The seed is given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, thus they only seem to come out as products of material nature. Thus every living entity, according to his past activities, has a different body, created by this material nature, so that the living entity, can enjoy or suffer according to his past deeds. The Lord is the cause of all the manifestations of the living entities in this material world. Mama yonir mahad brahma tasmin garbham didamyaham sambhava sarva bhutanam tato bhavati bharata. Go ahead. The total material substance called Brahman is the source of birth, and is that Brahman that I impregnate, making possible the birth of all living beings, O son of Bharata. An example is used that everyone had a father and mother. I don't think anyone can dispute that. You had a father and mother, Govinda, Priya? You too? Did you have a father and mother? Do you think they had a father or mother?
Yes.
Did they have a father or mother?
Yes.
So where do we trace back the father and mother? If we go back in our relatives, where do we find that one of them was a monkey? Do you have anyone in your family who was known to be a monkey?
No.
You don't?
What's that?
So it would be very unusual looking through your family tree to find a monkey swinging on a tree. This is my family tree. Grandfather Harry. And then if you trace it back, then there would be great, 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 great grandmother and father who are black sheep. You have some black sheep in your family? Black sheep in England, in America, is people, the relatives in your family you don't want to really, you don't want to talk about. But literally black sheep in the family. And to call it the black sheep, their great, great, great grandfather was also a mouse. Squeaky. Grandfather Squeaky. And he came from a rock that came out of nothing. So this is the scientific explanation of how we came here out of nothing. And when we leave this body, and we go back into the nothing. But we know that no one has ever traced back their ancestry and find anyone else but a person, a father and a woman and a man. Therefore, where is the basis of concluding that everything came out of nothing? And then if everything came out of nothing, why don't more things come out of nothing? You mean nothing use up all its energy when it became something? Does it make sense? No. How could nothing use up its energy? Because it has nothing to use up. So we can see from monkeys come monkeys, from human beings come human beings, and human beings, they continuously produce more living beings, and they're always persons. We don't find living entities impersonal. So how can the original living being be impersonal? If our father was a person, then if we're persons, then how can our father not be a person? And how can the original father not be a person? And where did the energy come from? I mean, what energy have we provided when we came here? Did we bring some energy from somewhere else? Did we bring some earth and water and fire and air and ether from someone else when we came? No, when we came, it was all here already. We didn't add anything to the material world. And when we leave this body, we're not going to take anything with us. So where is the idea that, where did it all come from? And why is it acting so systematically? Why is the planets moving their orbit? Why is the sun rising at a certain time and setting at a certain time? Why is it all going on so systematically if there's no person behind it? If we take this microphone and leave it for 500,000 years, what is it going to do? Nothing. Because there's no intelligence. There's no force, conscious force, that are going to cause it to do anything. But how long can we sit here? Hopefully another 10 minutes at least. How? Because we have this body and we move it from one place to the next. At least we desire that it be moved. And somehow or another, there's some force that's moving it from one thing to another. So how can we deny that our original father is a person just like we are, but he's the most powerful person because we can see that he's moving everything in this universe, including ourselves. And not only that, but who can deny his energy of time, time kala, is one of the 24 elements. Time is changing everything. Everything at every moment is being changed by time, and we cannot change time. We can complain about it, but we can't do anything about it. Maybe karma, we can influence our own karma especially, but we can't influence time, which is above the three modes, which is creating the karma that we're experiencing. Therefore, for us in the material world, time is supreme, because time, under the three modes of material nature, is arranging everything for us. And all we can do is complain, or we can desire. We can desire to either become entangled in the time and the three modes and karma, or we can become aware and accept that we're servants of the Supreme Person, our original father, and become a good son or daughter rather than trying to complain about him all the time or compete with him uselessly. So the conclusion is, Mama Yong Nir Maha Brahma Tasman Garvan Dadamiham. As Krishna will say in the next verse, Sarva Yonishi Kondiya Morti Yaksam Bhavantiya Tasam Brahma Maha Yong Nir Aham Bija Prajapita. It should be understood, O son of Kunti, that I'm the source of birth of all living entities. Understood that all species of life, O son of Kunti, are made possible by birth in this material world, material nature, and that I am the seed-giving father. So we're going to have to live with Krishna eternally. We've been doing it already. So we might as well get used to it. If you're going to live with someone eternally, you might as well make friends with them. And he's in our heart. He's been there, in spite of the fact that we've been asking him to leave since time immemorial. Could you just go away? I just want to be the Lord. Sorry, you can't be the Lord without me. You can't imagine that you're the Lord. So we're going to be with Krishna forever, so we might as well get used to it and make friends with him. If you're going to live with someone, you might as well have a nice relationship with him. Could you imagine having a roommate that every day you woke up, you just fought with him the whole day? It'd be rather unpleasant, especially if you lost the fight every day. So Krishna is in our heart. He's arranging the material nature for us. So we might as well get used to it and be friendly with him, because he's actually our friend. It's just that we have some psychological disturbances, and therefore we're trying to compete with him. We're trying to ignore him. We're trying to criticize him. So, etc. And others too. But if we just see how nice Krishna is, and how nice the arrangements he could make with us if we cooperate with him, then we can actually relax a little bit and end the struggle against material existence, which we always lose. So this is why Krishna is saying, he's our father, he's not some stranger. He's been coming to us since time immemorial in 8,400,000 species of life, trying to get us to come to him, back to him. So he's a good friend. I mean, who else would, if someone was going to give you free sunlight every day, free air, free moonlight, it's all free. You don't have to, even if you don't pay, you still get it anyhow. Now, even the nicest person in this planet, you have to pay, who owns the electricity company, you have to pay for the electricity. You have to pay for the water. You have to pay for the gas. You have to pay for so many things. But Krishna is giving everything for free. So he must be a good person. Quite generous. Therefore, with a little intelligence and a little examination, we should at least become friendly to Krishna, and that's the beginning of Krishna consciousness. That everything we're experiencing is a product of Krishna's energy. Everything we like comes from Krishna, is a manifestation of his energy. And everything we feel strongly against is also coming from Krishna. But it's all Krishna. So why not appreciate Krishna? He's provided us. When we go against his desires, then we find ourselves in trouble, so we don't get further and further away from him. And when we become favorable to Krishna, then Krishna reveals himself more and more to encourage us to come to him. And since we're eternal, even though it may take a little while, but all of us will become successful. We just stay on the path of Krishna consciousness, try the best we can, and then Krishna will help us at every step. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. You are mentioning also in some other class about this moment when you don't get material happiness and you don't get spiritual happiness yet. So how to survive through this?
Well, we've been doing quite well since time immemorial. The conditioned soul, he just hankers for that one drop of nectar that he's going to get. He spends weeks trying to hanker. So he survives with expectation. Somehow or another, he's going to get that one drop of happiness. So what to speak of spiritual happiness? I mean, if we concentrate a little bit on Krishna consciousness, we get more than one little drop of spiritual happiness. So how do we survive? We have no choice. We're eternal. How do we survive in this body? Because we're attached to it. We wouldn't give it up for anything. But we have to go through the process of sadhana bhakti and learn how to become eligible to get as much spiritual happiness as possible. So then it'll be more than survival. It'll be enthusiastically dancing and chanting. Anything else? Khwala, Grandharaj, Srimad Bhagavad Gita, Ki Jai.